She rattled the ice in my plastic cup. Yes, ma'am, fill her up. Tell me something good that I don't know.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And as promised, on the line, Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. Hope you are, too.
All right, Sandy, you had a question you wanted to ask the Senate.
Well, I did. Senator, I presume you wanted to be on the show, and it's in many respects like acting in a surrogate role for the candidate for president. So I thought we'd ask you a question that would be the question we'd like to ask him. And so this is economics. You know, the people talk about how the various candidates poll with respect to their ability to handle the economy, but and there's a lot of talk about the economy looking backwards. We don't talk about the Pence period. We talk about the Trump period. But apparently the Republicans want to talk a lot about the Harris period with the inflation that occurred in the first couple of years. But what the public wants to know about are the policies that are going to be implemented in the future. And both candidates have talked about the policies they want to implement in the future. And the financial community, the economic press, the financial community have reacted to those proposals, and they've concluded that Trump's plans will do considerably more damage to the economy and will provide inferior results for the economy than the plans that have been discussed in detail by the Harris campaign. And what the people are talking about that they worry about with respect to the Trump proposals are across-the-board tariffs, which promise to be inflationary, which promised to be a tax paid by American individual consumers or the American companies that import goods, that those tariffs will disrupt the supply chain and will prompt increased tariffs on American goods, a trade war with other countries, and would produce nowhere near the amount of revenue to offset the reduction in revenue with the second issue that the financial communities find problems with, which is the announced plan by Trump to substantially reduce corporate taxes and other taxes, which will be inflationary to the extent they aren't offset. And there's no opportunity to offset them with the revenue to be derived from the tariffs. Number one, they won't develop enough revenue. Or two, if they're simply negotiating items, they'll be negotiated away. And then the third issue they're concerned about are massive deportations, which they believe will reduce the rate of growth of the GDP based on the contribution to the growth rate of the GDP of the millions of people who are in this country who might get deported. So that I guess I'd like you to comment on all of that, because I think everyone is worried about the economy going forward. What are the policies going to be, and how are they going to affect the economy?
Well, that was pretty good dissertation there. I would just point out that under Trump, wages were up, I think, 7.7%. We did have a record economy until the COVID recession hit. I would credit primarily President Trump's dedication to reducing the regulatory burden. If you're a small entrepreneur, you understand the harmful impact of regulations, all the barriers to entry created by licensing boards, that type of thing. So, President Trump is definitely dedicated to that. Obviously, does not want to increase the tax burden on businesses. We had a huge tax cut for every American, and pretty well paid for itself had it not been for the COVID recession.
We've got
more than a $4 trillion tax increase that's going to kick in automatically in 2026 on Senate Finance. We're looking at that right now. From my standpoint, what I'm going to be pushing for, and President Trump's not going to be able to implement this stuff on his own. He's going to have to come to Congress. I'm on Senate Finance. What I'm pushing for is this opportunity to simplify and rationalize our tax system, which is what I'd like to do. So we've got to everything in the top.
Senator Johnson, how does that square with any of the things that he was asking about former President Trump?
You're asking about the economy.
I would.
I think President Trump does want a world free of tariffs, but that's not the world we're in. In his previous administration, he used tariffs to try and get people to comply with things. For example, one of the reasons he was able to secure the border was he threatened terrorists against Mexico. So I view his talk of terrorists as more threatening to get people to behave properly, to engage in free and fair trade, as opposed to...
But Senator, when Donald Trump...
I would not support across-the-board tariffs either.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, but when Donald Trump talks about tariffs, he talks about using the revenue from the tariffs to offset the revenue reduction from his tax reductions, and he talks about how tariffs are going to generate so much revenue that he'll be able to fix the healthcare system with all of the surplus revenue that'll be derived by it. I mean, he's hanging tariffs out to the public as a tax which he describes as being paid by foreigners, which will then fill the coffers of America and allow him to solve problems, which you seem to agree is a fallacious promise.
Again, first of all, he has a record. It was a successful record versus Harris and Biden. 40-year high inflation. The dollar you held at the start of the Biden administration is now worth 83 cents. A war on fossil fuel, which is insane. You know, everything, you know, an open border.
Well, now, wait. Fossil fuel.
So Democrat governance has been a disaster.
Well, Senator, a war on fossil fuel, but the... Production of oil has reached record levels under Biden, so I mean we're not suffering from a shortage of oil production, and furthermore, the debt level that was incurred under Donald Trump has substantially exceeded the debt level contribution to the national debt under Joe Biden. So I mean,
well, so because we're limited in time. Senator Johnson, are you willing to, and is President Trump, former President Trump, willing to adhere to the outcome of the elections to say that, you know, if Kamala Harris wins, we support that and we're going to accept that?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, unfortunately, you know, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a governor who vetoed the types of bills that would restore confidence in our election system. So you're asking me a hypothetical question that I really can't answer because I don't know, you know, how many different ways Democrats are going to want to cheat here.
Hang on a second, Senator Johnson. Calvin, can you play that cut? All right, do we have it?
51,000 more votes than Trump got.
I'm a good friend.
So listen, collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes. 51,000 more votes than Trump got.
I'm a good friend.
Trump lost by 20,000. And Trump got all the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates. He would have won.
Senator Johnson, that was you in the 2020.
In that same election, 170,000 ballots were improperly cured. You have balloting in the park in Madison. We had people voting in nursing homes without the proper supervision. We had Zuckerbucks taking
over. None of that was proven. None of that was proven.
All kinds of irregularities occurred in 2020.
Senator Johnson, 60 different court cases didn't bear that out, sir.
Most of those never even looked at the evidence. They were just because of the mood.
So, Senator Johnson, I have to push back on that. So you're telling me that the courts did not look at the evidence because the courts are slanted towards Democrats? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. In Wisconsin, for example, they used the cloak of latches, and they didn't really look at the evidence of the case. And that happened across the board. There were a few courts that actually did look at evidence. And
Justice Gableman spent a year and a half and over $1 million investigating all of what you're talking about. It didn't come forward with any proposed litigation or prosecution.
Well, there are all kinds of bills that the Republican legislature proposed and passed that the governor vetoed. I mean, for example, we still haven't cleaned up our voter roll. I mean, we've got 7.5 million voters on our voter roll, and only 3.5 million are eligible. What's that about? Why don't we clean up those rolls?
Well, Senator Johnson,
there's so many things we could do to restore confidence, and I'm not looking for a partisan advantage.
Well, Senator Johnson, you are a United States senator. You are a United States senator, and you are, and others are telling the American people that our system of elections is not fair and right and just. And you think that's a good thing long term for the for this society?
We do things that we recommend other countries don't do in terms of secure elections. Again, Democrats, I mean, for example, are you going to vote yes on the amendment that would change our Constitution so only citizens can vote?
Well, I mean, it's a ridiculous statement.
The amendment already – wait. Our Constitution provides for that. Our Constitution already provides for that.
We're clarifying it that only citizens
– Also, now we're clarifying – But why do we need to clarify it, Senator, when it's already there?
Because Democrats want to make it easy to cheat. We're trying to prevent.
Senator Johnson, sir, with all due respect, to say that Americans that are Democrats are cheaters, really, you know, that's not very becoming of a United States senator, sir.
Democrats in power are trying to make it pretty easy to cheat. They were opposed to the SAVE Act, which just would require proof that you are a citizen. Again, if it's illegal for non-citizens to vote, why not make people
Senator Johnson, you are implying that Democrats cheat and Republicans don't. You clearly are stating that.
I think it's obvious that one side of the political spectrum wants to secure our elections, put in control so that everybody has confidence in the result, and the other side wants to make it just easier to cheat with things like mail-in balloting, no voter ID. I mean, you've got the Attorney General of the United States opposed to voter ID when 80% of Americans support voter ID. I'm on the side of the American public here. I'm just talking about elected Democrat officials want to turn this into a one-party nation. That's their on a mission to do so.
Senator Johnson, thank you very much for the time. Thank you very much for the call. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. You heard it for yourself. That was Senator Ron Johnson. Up next, you and your responses on the other side.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.